Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Great.
Amen. Ain't we serving a good God?
Amen.
So glad to be in the house of the Lord with you this first Sunday of 2024. Can you believe a new year already? Hallelujah. Well, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're going to read verse 11. And then Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4. But while you're turning there, I'm going to get Brother Jason to put Psalms 118:24 on the screen. As I was praying about this year and, you know, to be able to make it through this year in a place of victory that the Lord wants us to have and to be able to do everything God would have us to do, we've got to have strength. And we'll look at that in a moment. You know, the strength that the Lord has for us, it comes from a joy that is not of the flesh, but it's of the Spirit. And so as I was praying about that, the Lord said that when fear gets involved in our feelings, that's when it overwhelms us. And when fear is in your feelings or in my feelings, all of a sudden we're in some kind of bondage. We're in some kind of cage. We're in some kind of limitation. And so he said that the only way we'll overcome that is to have our feelings filled with faith. Faith comes by this word, right? So we've got to, and he said that if we'll have our senses sanctified by the Savior, then you and I, we can go through this year rejoicing. And if we're in the place of rejoicing, we're in the place of victory. And that's what we all want. We want to be in the place of victory because we represent the victor. And we want a world that is out there that it was without him to know that there's hope, that there's an answer, that there's something greater. You know this verse, I'm sorry, 118:24. Psalms 118:24, it talks about that you and I, we have to realize that joy, the ability to rejoice, it comes before gladness, before happiness. So everybody wants to be happy, but you'll never be happy until we learn how to operate in joy, because joy is the second fruit of the Spirit. And so when we realize that joy will in turn make us glad, it'll make us happy. And we can have a sanctified happiness than rather than a happy. I'm happy because it's sunshining. I'm happy because, I got my paycheck. I'm happy because I just got my belly full. All of those things are subject to change. But when you have a happiness that is supplied by the joy of the Spirit of God in your life, it changes everything. Amen. And so that's what we want to do this year. I believe with all my heart, we're going to minister our way through the whole book of Philippians, because the book of Philippians it's the joy epistle. 16 times the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, talks about joy or rejoicing in that epistle. And of course, the number 16 in Bible numerics means love. And when you and I are in the place where we're receiving love from the Father and we're giving that love out, we're going to be able to have an opportunity to share the joy that the Lord has gave us. Amen. All right, so we're just going to read this one verse in Philippians today, but we're going to, starting next week, we're going to preach our way through this whole epistle. And I guarantee you, if you and I apply what the Spirit of God shows us at the end of this, we will not be able to recognize ourselves. He's going to change us. I can only be changed by the Word. Everybody wants to be changed, and everybody has a self-help program, and everybody has this and that. This is what you and I need. This is the only answer. Amen. All right. Let's go to, let's read Philippians 4:4 first, and then we'll read John 15:11, because we're going to do most of our ministering out of the Gospel of John. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. Say amen when you're there. This is the theme verse of this whole epistle that as we study this out at the first part of this year, this is what we'll be reminding ourselves of and living from. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, by the Lord. Let the Lord be your source. Let the Lord be my source. Rejoice in the Lord always, at all times. At all times. And again, for emphasis, for you and I can really put it to heart, he said, I say rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Now, John chapter 15, look at the words of Jesus, verse number 11. John chapter 15, verse number 11. If we're going to be in the place of rejoicing, we've got to have the Word of God. Look what Jesus said. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Would you pray, Brother Donnie?
Thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for this message.
Yes, Lord.
We know it comes straight out of the throne room at this moment in time for us.
Yes.
Lord. May our hearts be changed. May we be filled with joy. May our mindset and our thoughts be changed with the positive.
Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the Word. Thank you for being here on this first Sunday of 2024. We just come through what, you know, the Lord gave us a prophetic word last year that it would be the year of release. And so as I was meditating on that, I was thinking about, there's a word called recidivism. And recidivism is a word that means people who were once at liberty, they go back into bondage. And so I was thinking about that. It's a term that they use in the penal code about prisoners. And, you know, in the United States of America, 44% of the prisoners who are released from prison, within 1 year, they're back in prison. That's what recidivism is. And so you and I just preached our way this whole past year about coming into a place of being released, having freedom by the Word of God. And so if we're going to make sure that we keep that freedom, then we're going to have to do it by joy. By joy. Because I don't know about you, every time the Lord does something in my life and I have the ability to rejoice about it, here comes the devil from every corner hitting me left and right, front and back, trying to move me backwards, trying to steal what God's done in my life. And so this year, if I'm going to hold on to that, I've got to have that joy. And so I posted this on social media last night that the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, you're going to go through hardships. Every Christian, the closer you get to the Lord, the more hardships you're going to have because the devil hates you. He wants to hurt you. He wants to stop your witness, your testimony. But hardships, here's what the Spirit of God said. When you take humility and you mix it with hope, guess what? You can overcome all hardships and it's going to result in joy. Yeah. So the level that you go through things that the enemy attacks you with, it's going to give you an opportunity to have a new level of to rejoice, a new level of joy, because you're going to be humble enough to see what God's wanting to do in your life. And you're, as you have that humility in your life, you're going to be in that place, in that position where you say, no, this hardship is not greater than Jesus. Right. This situation. Because, see, if I stay in the sense realm, the feeling realm, then the devil will win every time. But if I stay in the faith realm, Brother Tony, I'm going to win. You're going to win. And so that's why we have to be in the place where we fill our feelings up with faith and we let the Savior sanctify our senses. So notice here in this John 15, 11, Jesus said that this joy that I have for you, it comes from hearing what I have to say to you. Now, can you wrap your mind around that? That Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the blessed, our great high priest, he has something to say to us. Oh my goodness. Of all people who Jesus could talk to, he wants to talk to you, Brother Jason. He has a word for you, Brother Corey. Every one of us this morning, he has a specific word for you, Sister Debbie, to get down in our heart. And he said, when we receive that word, that we would receive joy from him. So his word in any area of my life this morning that I'm not walking in this joy, I'm not able to rejoice about something, I need to come back and I need to say, Lord, I need a word of truth from you. Because right now I'm struggling. There's some areas in my life right now I'm struggling. And I just get down on my knees and I just open up my heart and I just tell the Lord, say, listen, I don't have what this Bible says in this situation. And I know it's for me. So I humbly want to hear the word that you have for me, and I want to put it into practice. This is a hardship time, but I'm going to put my hope in this Bible, not in what I'm feeling, not in what I'm seeing. And I'm going to humbly accept what you say, and I know that your joy is going to come. It's going to be inside of me. And when it's inside of me, then all of a sudden, it's going to start producing fruit. Because notice what he said. He said that my joy might remain in you. And look what happens. And that your joy might be full. From the Greek, it says that your joy might be complete. Brother Tony, this morning, and everything that you're going through, you've got a joy. You've got a joy, regardless of what everything's going on. There's sadness, yes. There's questions and all of these things. But you've got a joy because you got up this morning knowing who you serve. You got up knowing who died for you. You got up knowing that you've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Come on, hallelujah. And so we've got to live by that truth, by that reality. And we've got to say, Jesus has got his joy for me, but I've got to let it remain. Now, that tells you and I something that we need to recognize. That means that when the devil starts working, when the trials and the tribulations that you're going to experience in this world come against you, you've got to make a choice. I've got to make a choice. Do I listen to them or do I hold on to what Jesus has gave me? Because everything the devil's doing in your life and my life is to try to steal this word. Because he doesn't want you to be in the place of operating from joy. Amen? So, guess what? You and I, we're not in a place where we're having to compete for the Father's love. Right. Aren't you glad? You know, you see situations in families where, seems like certain children or certain family members are loved more than others, or they get more attention than others and all those things. You and I, we don't have to compete.
Right.
Brother Donnie, you and I, we're all the same in his eyes. He loves us with an everlasting love that's pure and righteous and holy. And he's mindful for you. He's mindful for me. So I can put my arm around you. You can put your arm around me. And we can just come boldly to the throne of grace. And guess what? You're going to hear. I'm going to hear. Amen. Nobody gets left behind. So we're in a situation right now where the world is starting to experience some things. And we know, you and I, we know what the Bible says. Those things are going to get worse and worse and worse. You and I, we've got to be in the place where we don't hoard anything back, but we open up our heart.
Yeah.
And we just let everything that God gives us, we just let it flow in abundance.
Right.
I struggle with that because it challenges my faith. It challenges where I'm at, who I really believe in and what I'm trusting in. So thank God for challenge, because challenge is the only way that we'll grow. When we stress our muscles, come on, when we stress this natural body, what happens? It grows. It builds up stronger. Well, when you and I, when we stress the truths of this Bible, we're going to get more strong. We're going to have more liberty. We're going to be more at ease in the things of the spirit and not the flesh. Amen. That's what we're looking for. All right. So let's look at some things. Hold your place here in John. We'll be right back. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's look at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And now keep in mind that, we don't have time. But you know that chapter 5 is about the revelation that you've got a glorified body. You've got another a heavenly tabernacle. When you get born again and you become a new creature, a new creation, and you get the ministry that is put in your life, in my life, the ministry of reconciliation, we realize that we've been made righteous because of Jesus. And then chapter 6, we realize that we are this great temple of the Holy Spirit, and that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. There's some great promises in chapter 5 and chapter 6, but we don't have time to look at that. But look at verse 1 in chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, just a few of those things I mentioned and many, many more. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us. Now mark that down in your Bible. If you don't mark in your Bible, you can. Some people think you can't. You can mark in your Bible. My Bible's marked up. You do what you want to. But mark it down. Let us. God, we're going to look at where God starts something of sanctification in your life. He starts something of sanctification in my life. But then we've got to pick up where he starts and walk with him.
Amen.
Amen. So he said, let us cleanse ourselves. Now, wait a minute. Cleanse ourselves. Okay. I know that I had a boatload of sin in my life and there was no hope. I had no hope in myself because my righteousness was as filthy rags. But Jesus, He made a way that His righteousness could become my righteousness. So He started to work through God the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit in my life. And He what? He cleaned me up. My spirit could then have complete intimacy and fellowship with the Godhead, with the Trinity.
Amen.
Without shame. I could sit down with God the Father, God the Son, by the Holy Spirit, and I could just enjoy fellowship. No shame. All right, but I still got, though my spirit is made brand new, I've still got the same old soul. I've got the same old mind, will, and emotions. I've got the same old body. So what I've got to do, I've got to do my part. God took care of the impossible for me with my spirit, with your spirit. He caused us to be born again. But now we've got to start walking with Him. And as we walk with Him, He's going to start bringing revelation of His gifts and His calling. He's going to start showing who you truly are, what your destiny is. And to be able to fulfill that destiny, to be able to embrace your calling and to know who you are, to know who I am, we've got to take this word and be washed. Ephesians 5:26, washed by the water of the word. And so that's how we cleanse ourselves. So we're talking about in the soul realm. We're talking about in the body realm. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. In other words, I realize my spirit, I don't let the devil bring condemnation. I realize what God done. Because every one of us, if we're not careful, we'll start to pray about something. And then the devil will say, oh, you ain't even read your Bible. Or you had this thought. Or you said this word. You know what I mean? And all, he gets us back where we're under condemnation. And then we pull away from God. No, you and I were drawing nigh to God. Because as we draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to us. Amen? Oh, Sister Michelle, I love that, don't you? So here we are this morning. So I got to cleanse myself from all filthiness. See, anything that's not a faith is filthy in God's eyes. And anything that's not a faith, fear is going to be in operation. So all of a sudden, now when I share with you things about my own life, I'm not telling you that you should do what I do. I'm using it for an example where you'll know, because I'm just like you. We're all the same. So you don't say, boy, the preacher said I need to do this. No, you do what the Holy Spirit says to you. I don't know what you should do unless God specifically gives me some instruction to give you. Amen. So always just take what I give you as a pattern and say, okay, I see that God's working in my pastor like He's working in me. Amen. So anything that's not filled with faith is filthy because fear is in operation. And fear paralyzes. Fear still kills and destroys. Fear is of the devil. It's not of God. Amen? So, you know, the devil always tries to get me to keep stuff back. Whether it's in the, whether it's my emotions, you know, don't share that. You know, that makes yourself vulnerable. Whether it's of my finances, whether it's of my time, whatever it might be, he's always given a reason why I shouldn't do it. So what I've got to do is every time the devil gives me a reason why I shouldn't do it, I need to realize, okay, that's operating from fear. So God, I need a word, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I need a word that you would guide me and direct me in, because I'm not Satan's, I'm not on his strength. Come on, you're not on his strength. We're in relationship with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have a relationship with God the Father, God the Son through His Spirit. And so I don't have to be dangled around by a lying, judged devil. I can be in that place. So I say, Lord, give me a word. Show me a word in this situation. Well, the Spirit of God is your closest friend. And He only lifts up Jesus. So all of a sudden, He'll put a scripture in your heart. It may not be verse, chapter and verse, but you'll know, hey, that's in the Bible. I know that's the way God feels about this. So all of a sudden you just step out in faith and you do that. What have you done? You filled your feelings with faith.
Right.
Brother Donald, you filled your feelings with faith, and your sense realm has become sanctified. And you're in that place where you have joy. And you have that victory. And that's what God has for us this whole year in the place, because there's going to be people that's going to come into you and me with all sorts of needs. Because why? Because we're seeing the sign of the times. We're seeing everything that is going to come to pass about hardships in this world, because the further that the world gets away from God, the greater the need is. Amen. But you're in the church. Amen. Come on, you're not in a church. You're in the church, the church of the living God. He's your source for all things. So if you need to pour out emotion of love, if you need to pour out time, if you need to pour out finance, if you need to pour out whatever it might be, God's your source. And you don't have to do it according to some program or because somebody else said. You just do what the Spirit of God tells you to do. Amen. Oh, there's such pleasure, such peace in being in that place, in that position. Because see, the devil will want to he'll want to condemn you and say, boy, you're not doing what brother so-and-so's doing. You're not doing what sister so-and-so. Did God tell you to do it? Then just rejoice. Praise God that you've gave them an anointing. You put that faith in them for them to do that. But guess what? I'm going to operate right here. I'm not going to hinder them. I'm not going to hurt them. I'm going to pray for them, but I'm going to be in that place of victory. So this is what he's talking about. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Notice what happens here. Perfecting holiness in the fear, in the reverence of God. Now, you and I, we know that our spirit is as holy as it'll ever be. So when he talks about perfecting or completing holiness, he's talking about you and I coming in alignment with our soul and our body.
Amen.
Oh, glory. Now, this is the key how you and I start receiving other things. Say, I need some healing in my soul, not my spirit, in my soul. I need some healing in my body. Come on. And this is how those things can be perfected, because, see, my attitudes, my preconceived notions, fear working in those situations keep me from receiving from God. Because Jesus is very clear, if I'm going to have to receive, I'm going to have to receive it by faith. So this is why this is so important for you and I to do this year. Now let's go back to the Gospel of John. This time, John chapter 17. Notice, let's read verse 19. John 17, 19, the red letter, and then we'll jump back up. But Jesus says, and for their sakes, in other words, for you and I, Jesus said that I sanctify myself. And for their sakes, so for you and I this morning, we're a part of the church. He said, I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified through the truth. So God starts a work. And when God starts a work, then you and I, we join hand in hand with him. We join, better said, heart to heart. And we realize, so think about it. Jesus, this gives us some insight here. Jesus, though he was sinless, he's in a flesh body. He's completely holy, yet without sin. That's how he becomes the perfect Lamb of God. But he said that he sanctified himself. He set himself aside. See, part of being sanctified means that you're willing to set your life down aside and then pick up what life God has for you. And that's the source of true joy. Okay, hold your place right there. Let's go to chapter 10 and let's read the verse. Look at verse 36. This is showing how God started it, and Jesus, as we just read there, keeps it going. In John 10:36, Jesus says, say of him, and he's talking about it himself, say of him whom the Father has sanctified. In other words, Jesus said, the Father has sanctified me, and he sent me into the world. He said, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. So Jesus is trying to teach them here as he goes through this 10th chapter, talking about him being the shepherd and we're the sheep. And we had a whole group of people here who did not believe in his works, and his works were not of him. They were of the Father. So they didn't believe of the Father. And they were renouncing all that. But what I want you to concentrate on, mark it in your Bible where you can, it'll come clearer to you as we progress this year. He said, just mark that part down. The Father has sanctified. So Jesus is saying, my God sanctified me. He set me apart for this ministry. This morning, you've got to realize that in 2024, God has plans for you. He has every day in mind for you. There's not one day this year that he said, oh, just go ahead and just do whatever you want to do. I got other things to do. I'm not thinking about you. No, he's mindful of you and I. His mercies are new every morning. And his mercy is toward you and I. And he's got a plan for us. So he wants to sanctify us. He wants to set us aside just like he did Jesus every day. Jesus got along with the Father and God gave him a word every day. Remember, Jesus is your source of joy. He said, my joy is going to remain in you and your joy will be full. So what we do is we sit back and say, okay, God started sanctifying me. He set me aside. He done everything in my spirit I needed to be done. And now I need to let the Lord do some things in me that comes by his word and me putting his word to practice. So go back to chapter 17. This time, let's start reading in verse 17. John 17:17. Jesus makes this statement. He said, sanctify them, set them aside, make them holy. Sanctify them through thy truth. He's praying to the Father for you and I. Because he said, I'm not just praying for these alone. I'm praying for those who will believe on my name through them. So that's you and I. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is the truth. So you and I were made holy. We're set aside for God's service when we get into this word. So you have to have the word every day. I have to have the word. I have to know what the Spirit is saying to the church moment by moment. And when I'm in that place and all of a sudden that truth is flowing in me and through me. And I'm realizing that I'm being set aside, Brother Rodney. I'm being set aside for God's will, for God's plan. Now notice what he says. He said in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. See, until you and I go where God would have us to go, we've never come to that place of relationship of what? Obedience, of humility, of honor to him. And that may be why we're struggling with some feelings. That may be why we're struggling in some areas in our life, because every area that I haven't submitted to God the Father, guess what? The devil has free reign to try to steal, kill, and destroy. So he said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is the truth. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is the truth. So I have to have this word in my life. I have to be in the place where I let it take hold in my life. And as I let it take hold in my life, it will change me. So can you see as Jesus is praying this prayer, what it means to him? Because he's setting forth your future, my future, by a prayer that was prayed 2,000 years ago. I think Jesus knows how to get his prayers answered, don't you? So I don't have to be in fear. I can look at this and I can say, wait a minute, I can be sanctified. I can, because he told me I could. And if I'm sanctified, I'm set aside, then I'm going to be in that place where my feelings are not going to dominate me. Come on, I'm not going to be controlled by the old man, but I'm going to learn how to walk in the new man. I'm going to let that Holy Spirit that is in my spirit bring forth joy. Joy. I'm going to learn how to tap into that. See, it doesn't matter what, have you ever looked in your billfold and you thought, man, I just ain't got nothing? You know, but then, you know, you get to digging this a little bit deeper and sometimes you find something that you hid back in there for a rainy day. You know, don't you get excited? I mean, one time I needed $20 really bad, and I didn't think I had anything, and I kept digging around in there, and I had a 20-fold. I got excited. Well, you and I, that's what we've got through the Father, except even greater, because it's in the spiritual. We've got all of these promises, all of these blessings, but we can only access them by faith. And that truth is what looses your faith. It's what enables you, empowers you to get it. Amen? Okay. Let's look at some things here then. If you see that yourself is truly sanctified, if you see yourself in that place, in that position, then you're not going to let anybody or any devil, any lying imp from hell tell you what you can do or can't do. Because you realize, hey, they didn't die for you. Jesus did. They never done anything for you but try to steal from you. And so now you're in that place where I'm serving the one who literally overcome hell and the devil. I'm truly born of him. And so I need to rejoice. Yes, there's trouble. There's problems. My flesh don't feel right. My mind is just being attacked in all these ways. But I'm going to rejoice because the truth is I have that victory. Amen.
Yes.
And so it comes back to that we've got to recognize the altar, not the altar that's on the outside. Thank God for these altars, but the altar that is in your life.
Yes.
That altar in your life, that altar in my life, A-L-T-A-R is the only thing that will A-L-T-E-R your life. The greater that you have understanding of that altar, the greater experience you have with that altar in your heart, then the place of greater victory and freedom, the place where joy is just going to start propelling out of your life. We've got to get intimate with that altar. So let's talk about that altar just a minute. Remember, Jesus makes a statement in the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about when you bring your gift to the altar, if you've got aught against somebody, he says, you know, leave your gift there and then go make that right and then come back and offer your. But notice he said your gift. Leave your gift on the altar. Well, your gift today to the Lord is your body. And so we've got to realize that we've got to keep our body, which houses these emotional, our soul is it expresses itself through the body, your mind, will, and your emotions. So I've got to keep it on the altar to be able to do what God would have me to do.
Amen.
An altar is a place of sacrifice. Now, it's hard on the body. It's hard on the soul. But it's easy on the spirit.
Amen.
So all of a sudden, when we start doing this, we start being having the liberty of walking more in a deeper level in the spirit than in the flesh. And when we do that, all of a sudden, that natural byproduct of the Holy Spirit of rejoicing, it starts coming out. Amen? It's a powerful thing. I know I'm waiting. I'm trying to figure out where I'm supposed to go, okay? I don't know. This joy is something that is so needful. It's the whole world today is controlled by trying to make themselves happy. And we're going to minister on that. You know, what happens when enough becomes too much? That's where we're at right now. We're seeing people losing their life because enough has become too much. And that's the way the devil will do us. Luke 14. Look what Jesus says. And starting in verse 25, Luke 14:25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. So Jesus is leading, and he's leading you, he's leading me, but aren't you glad that he'll always turn his face back to us? He'll shine the truth in our lives. The Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6 is that the Lord shine his face upon us. And that's what he's doing in this verse. He turned and he said unto them, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brethren, and his sisters. Now, from the Greek, this is not hate. This is loveless. You and I, we're not supposed to hate. We're supposed to love. But this is in, we love God first, the most degree. So we love him the most. So if any man love more his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brethren, his sisters, ye, and your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. And we have to be that. Verse 27, and whosoever doeth not bear his cross. Now mark this down in your Bible. Whoever not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So the altar of the New Testament is your cross. Your cross in the cross of Christ. That's the altar of the New Testament. And so what I have to do, I got to realize that I have to love Jesus Christ more than anything, or what will I do? When I get to a decision that my flesh doesn't like, my soul doesn't like, I'll set my cross aside. I'll pull myself off the altar, in other words, and I'll go and I'll do what I want to do. And the moment I do that, I'm back into trusting in myself and my emotions, my feelings, more than I'm trusting in a living God. And so when I do that, now I'm in the place where I've cut off my source of joy and I'm dependent upon happiness. And when I'm dependent upon happiness, then I've got to either eat the next thing, or I got to drink the next thing, or I got to take the next thing, or I got to buy the next thing, or I got to have the next relationship. And it gets an endless cycle, and it's designed by the devil to destroy you and I. And there's a whole world out there this morning that they need to know what you know this morning. And you are the vessel of the Lord. And when you lay yourself on that cross, when you lay yourself on that altar, you're going to change people's lives. Amen? You're a life changer, but you've got to believe it. You've got to recognize that when you come in contact with somebody, you have the words of life. You have a vision of hope. You have an understanding that they've never experienced before. And you're God's mouthpiece in the earth. And you tell the devil to shut up. He doesn't determine what you can do, what you can't do. He's not your value. The devil says that you're not worth anything, but Jesus said you're worth my life. Amen? Oh, glory. So this is where we're at this morning. We're in this place where we say, okay, God, I'm going to be able to do it. I'm going to be in the place of rejoicing. I'm going to have this joy because I am going to keep this old rotten flesh. I'm going to keep it on the altar. I'm going to keep it on the cross. Because, see, the devil thought, he thought that he won everything when he put Jesus on the cross. But that's when he lost everything. So see, the devil's going to tell you, oh, you're losing this and you're losing that. No, you're gaining it all. When you put yourself on the cross, when I put myself on that cross, we gain it all. Jesus said, he said that I come to do the will of the Father. I think that's somewhere around John 6:38 or something like that. He said, I come to do the will of the Father. And he said, I'm able to do that. I'm going to complete the will of the Father because he's going to do the work through me.
Right.
It's the same way with you and I this morning.
Yeah.
When you say, when you make a commitment to God, he's going to do the work through you. You're his hand, his feet, his mouthpiece, whatever it might be. But he's going to give you the strength, the knowledge, oh, the ability. Come on, it's in you. All right, let's close with Romans chapter 12. We've ministered on this many, many times, but I want you to see something that will change your life. I've been a Christian. Dalton and I got saved in September of 1991. And I've studied this. I've taught it Bible study. I've preached on it. I don't know how many times. I never saw this. You realize when you do stuff backwards, you can't get the right results? Oh my gosh. So for 33 years nearly, I've been doing it backwards. So let's read this together. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, by the unction of the Holy Ghost, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, which is your logical worship, is what it says from the Greek, your logical worship. Now notice this, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, here's what I've been doing all these years. I've been trying with all my heart. I've read and prayed and read and prayed and tried to get my mind renewed. That's good. We're supposed to do that. I'll never get my mind renewed if I don't have my body on the altar.
Amen.
If I'm not carrying my cross. Notice what he said. He said in verse 1, I've got to present my body. I've got to nail this old flesh and the soul realm that goes with the flesh realm. I've got to nail it to the cross first. See, I was trying to get my mind, because I'd looked at other scripture and I knew that as a man thinketh in his heart, Proverbs 23:7, so is he. So I thought, okay, I've got to change the way I think. But see, as I tried to change the way I think, my flesh was still king. It was still dominating me. So Paul gives us the key here. Any area of your life, any area of my life that I'm struggling in, and I'm struggling in some areas about I don't understand how God can do the impossible, because to me it seems impossible, but with him it's not. I've got to put my body on my cross. I've got to present it. I've got to put it on God's altar, which is my cross. And if I put my body in that area first, he said, then all of a sudden, my mind, will, emotions, my soul realm, it could start being transformed. Amen? Come on, let's read it again. I beseech you. He said, I'm calling you near to this truth. I'm giving you a word that will exhort you and that will lift you up. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies. This is your channel of victory. By the mercies of God that you present, what this says in the Greek is that your spirit man raises up on the inside of you, and you grab yourself by the nape of the neck and you take it over to your cross, to God's altar, and you hold that flesh there. You present it to God. You say, no, this flesh is not going to control me. My spirit man, which is greater, is going to control my flesh. You present it to God. And I make sure that it's nailed to that altar. And he said, when we would do it, look what happens. That you present your body as a living sacrifice. God doesn't want you dead. He wants you alive. There's a lying spirit that's going around even in the church today, trying to get people to commit suicide, trying to give up on their life. And it's going to increase this year. That's why God is getting us ready, because the only thing that will stop a suicide spirit is a spirit of joy that is empowered by the Holy Ghost. That spirit is real. I've seen it. I've seen an operation against my own life. I've seen an operation in many layers in the church life. It is very powerful, but it's not more powerful than our loving, living God. He's alive and well through Jesus by the Spirit. Amen. So we got to be in this place where we say, no, I'm going to make sure, I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to let God empower my spirit, that my spirit can do this. I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and it becomes my reasonable service, my logical worship. In other words, I realize, you mean worship just isn't that 15, 20 minutes on Sunday morning? No, thank God for that 15 or 20 minutes. That's corporate worship. But you realize that all of heaven, you got God the Father, God the Son, got the Holy Spirit, and all the holy angels. When you grab by your spirit this flesh and your soul and you put it on the altar, all of heaven turns toward you. And all of a sudden, the angels stand back and they're in awe, because they realize what you used to be, what I used to be. And now they see the blood of Christ. They see the righteousness of you shining out, and they see you offering your life. And they see how God has forgave you. And you're not what you once were in his eyes. You're not once what you were in reality. And all of heaven is watching this. That's your logical worship. So that means you're going through your day. Trouble has come, tribulation has come, all those things. And the flesh is telling you how awful it is. The feelings is going through his. And you got to stop. You go, wait a minute. I had a logical worship. My reasonable service. This is not controlling me. This is not dominating me, because heaven is still looking at what I've done this morning. And I have victory. I have deliverance. I'm going to rejoice. Devil, you're not going to steal my joy, because it's in me. God put it there. Now, when you do this, when you get the body out of the way, then here comes the power of your mind. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you then can be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How do you do it? Verse 3. For I say through the grace. The grace. The grace that God gave you. God's grace. Paul said that the grace of God was sufficient, that God's grace was enough. That means whatever tribulation, whatever trouble, whatever struggle that you're dealing with, God has a level of grace for you that is enough to ensure your success. Amen. So this year you can be in that place where you're able to rejoice. You're able to walk in a new place of victory, because when that flesh starts raising up, you're going to be able to, by the Holy Spirit, you're going to remember this service this morning. And you're going to be in that place and position where the Spirit of God's going to grab you and say, go ahead. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you do it. I'm going to ensure that you know who you are, because you know who you serve.
Amen.
See, I was, Romans chapter 6 said, whatever I served, I become a slave to. But all of a sudden, in verse 14 of that sixth chapter, you and I, we become servants of righteousness. We serve the living Lord. We serve the one that has assured our place of victory and success. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace, your mercy and your love. I thank you for every person that's here this morning. I thank you for those who are listening in person, but those who are listening over the internet, Lord, I ask that you would touch and draw this morning. Make this message so real to us that we realize what you said. Your servant Paul said that we were living epistles. That yes, we've got epistles in the Bible, but each one of us, as the book of Acts is continually being written, we are living epistles, and this word is being written on the table of our heart, and our lives are to present the truth, the reality that Jesus Christ defeated hell, death, and the grave, and we thank you for it. We thank you that this coming year that you're going to fill our feelings as we submit to you with faith, and those faith-filled feelings are going to bring you glory and honor, and it's going to reach those who are hurting and without. Thank you that by the Savior, that our every sense can be sanctified, can be set aside for your work and your glory, and we can be in that operation of pleasing you, of reaching those who desperately need truth. Thank you for it. Lord, this morning, right now, I ask specifically, Lord, for those who are dealing with certain situations, it's between you and them. Lord, I ask that you would give them a word of truth, sanctify them, set that feeling, set that situation, set that circumstance aside in your truth, and let every lie be swallowed up, and let the joy of the Lord start bubbling forth. We'll be quick to praise you for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar? Just let the Spirit of God minister to you. Just raise your heart to Him. Let him love on you. He wants to love on you this morning. You know, it's His heart's desire to wrap His arms around you. You're more special to Him. Think about it. Jesus said, I willingly laid down my life. I suffered shame because I love you that much. So let Him lay His arms on you. Let Him put His heart on you. Let Him put His word in your life in Jesus' name.